some listener comment from yesterday's show. Now we're going to talk about Scientology. We had originally planned to do two shows on this subject, one today with the critics and one next Tuesday with supporters of Scientology, but the church contacted us about 90 minutes ago and insisted that they be allowed to have a spokesperson on today's show. So we're happy to have with us three ex-members of the Church of Scientology right now, and in a moment we'll be joined by one of the spokespersons for the Church of Scientology. We've got in the studio with us right now Birgitta Dagnell, Arnie Lerma, and Martin Ottman. All are ex-members of the Church of Scientology, and welcome to WMNF. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having us.
Good to have you here. Birgitta, let me ask you, first of all, you're from Sweden, and you joined the Church of Scientology many years ago. How many years ago?
I joined the church in 1970.
And how long were you in the church?
14 years.
And you became, eventually, the head of the church's Office of Special Affairs, right?
Yeah, but it hadn't really started to operate as well at that time. It was about to form, so I was in that office from spring 83 up to around October 83.
Now, what did you do for the Church of Scientology? What were some of the positions you had, and why did you belong to it?
What I had to handle was external troubles and to form front groups with Narconon, CCHR, etc., take care of aggressive media and make friends with media and city officials. And so on.
Yeah, you say that you set up front groups like Narconon and CCHR. CCHR is the Citizens Commission for Human Rights, right?
Right.
Why do you call it front groups?
Because they are doing things which make Scientology look more public friendly. It's a facade for the church to get the church accepted by the community.
Hmm. Why did you leave the church?
Well, it was several factors. I was put onto their camp. They had kind of a concentration camp in Denmark in 1983. And I, together with all the other Guardian office members, were put onto this camp. We should be rehabilitated, meaning they should crack us down and then build us up to what they wanted us to be.
When you say concentration camp, what do you mean concentration camp? That's a pretty, that word is so loaded.
Yeah, I have not seen anything similar, so that's why I call it concentration camp, because they didn't give us food, and if they gave us food, it was very little food. For instance, at one moment, they gave us 16 slices of bread for 82 people. And one of us took 6 slices of bread, so the rest of us almost, bite him up because he took too much.
Well, why do you think they gave you so little food?
They were suppressive against us. They wanted us to be very, very low. I remember, for instance, once when I had been there for a long time, I met a friend I had known for years. I met him on the yard, and he said to me, "Hi, Birgitta, what are you doing here?" And I couldn't even remember his name. It took me months to remember who that person was.
Was that because you had so little food?
Yes, so little food, so little sleep, two very bad mental condition.
Hmm. Let me switch the focus to Arnie Lerma. Arnie, you were with the church up until 1978. Tell me about your experience in the Church of Scientology.
I used to be the what would be considered the financial controller for the publications division, which is now called Bridge Publications. And I got out in 78, I believe, and it was... there was no way that I could continue to hold any hope that Scientology, in fact, was what it claimed to be.
Well, why did you lose faith with the Church of Scientology?
I had been involved with them for 10 years, and I think, you know, enough time had gone by that I just gave up hoping that perhaps that what they were telling me was true, or that something would be revealed on some upper level that would make the madness that you see on, you know, day to day when you're in the organization make sense.
Well, Ted, what happened that you describe as madness?
Well, the last straw was being placed under house arrest here in Clearwater at the Fort Harrison and being held in a hotel room. And then being taken to another room and questioned by two staffers. I suppose they were members of the guardian's office then. And was given, and I don't remember the exact wording, but I remember the conclusion I had and the decision that I made. And I was given an offer of safe passage out of the state of Florida with no bodily harm if I would give up a plan. Well, we had a marriage license with Suzette Hubbard. We were trying to elope. Of course, during her auditing, it came up.
Well, now, you tried to elope with the daughter of the founder of Scientology.
Right, and I think that I was still a little too independent thinking, and that's not considered upstart in Scientology.
They objected to your relationship with her.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. How long were you held in house arrest in Clearwater?
Oh, just a few days.
Yeah. Let me turn to a spokesperson for the church right now. She is Sylvia Stannard. Sylvia, thanks for joining us. It's good to have you here,
Thank
too.
Thank you.
Is there such thing as house arrest at the church in Clearwater?
Absolutely not. And Arne Loma knows, and of course doesn't mention it, he didn't leave. He was actually thrown out of the church for quite a lot of other indiscretions and financial
abuse. That's a fabrication.
All right, well, let me just, did your church hold Arne Loma in house arrest in Clearwater for a few days in 1978?
Absolutely not.
Does your church maintain concentration-like camp situations in Europe, as Brigida mentioned a moment ago?
Absolutely not. Yeah. Absolutely not. They do. And Brigida, you were in Berlin at a conference put together by the German government.
Yes, I was.
Yes. That's my question for Brigida. What's happening here is there's a lot of people who are being paid to come into Clearwater.
No, I'm not.
Who are being financed.
I'm paying my expenses myself.
Okay. You're one of the few. There are quite a few others, including a critic of the church who recently had a house bought for him. There's quite a few people that are being paid to come in and attack the church, and that's what this is all about. What's happening is that these people who are coming into Clearwater to talk about the church are almost all involved in litigation against the church, trying to win money from the church, or these kind of things where they have a very big financial vested interest in attacking the church. And that's what people in Clearwater need to know. And then the people in Clearwater who are residents here, there are thousands of Scientologists who live in Clearwater and thousands more come every week and who are very involved in the community, who are doing community activities, who are doing things. People need to come and look for themselves. Come to the Fort Harrison. Look. You know, take a look yourself. Have you ever seen anybody being held? No. Anybody can come at any time and have a full open house, go for a tour throughout the church, go for a tour throughout Fort Harrison. That's what the church is all about, and that's what people need to really look for themselves, not listen to people who are trying to win money.
No,
Arne Loma has a case against the church.
The case is brought by you, not me.
And you tried to make money on it.
Scientology's lies continue from the first moment you get in to long after you are out.
You are involved in litigation against the church.
You are the one who sued me. It's RTC versus Lerma.
Exactly.
Or are you illiterate?
It is.
All right, well, let me back up. It would seem that there's a giant gulf here, and I still want to know about people being held against their will. Is there an independent way that we can verify that other people have been held against their will by the Church of Scientology? Can we, Brigida, were people who were held in this alleged concentration-like situation, have others come forward to second what you have said to us?
Well, my daughters.
Your daughters can testify that this indeed happened to you.
Yes.
Were they there?
No, they were not there.
There are quite a few statements we have from people who were there who say it didn't happen.
There is people outside, actually, a lot of more people who were there who can testify about it, of course.
Let me bring our other guest in on this, too. His name is Martin Ottman. Martin, you for a time worked at the spiritual headquarters at the church. You eventually left. Why did you leave the Church of Scientology?
I had to leave the so-called headquarters in 1992 because my visa had run out. And I tried to get back to the United States, but while this was in progress, I had to stay a certain amount of time in Germany. And at that time, I worked in a printing company in Frankfurt, owned by a Scientologist. And finally, I left Scientology because of my experience at the printing company, because the Scientologists who, there were several Scientologists who had run this printing company, falsified the tax balances, and they put money out of the company into Scientology. And finally, I reported them to the German CID. The company went bankrupt, and one of the Scientologists went to jail in 1994 for it.
As a result of your coming forward?
I don't know. He went to jail, and it's for the tax reasons for several things he did.
There's a
that was a private company, you're saying. It wasn't a church company.
It was a private company, and yeah. The former Scientologists were all patrons of the IRS, high-ranking public members who paid each $250,000 to the IRS from that company who went bankrupt in 1993.
So it's a private company that went bankrupt. That you worked for.
Yeah,
exactly.
And just
like any other church, there are quite a few private companies that are owned by Baptists, that are owned by Catholics, that are owned by Muslims, that go bankrupt or that might have fine. I don't know about this particular case, but
that's
what's happening here is that you take individual cases, particularly if it's happening in Germany, where individual Scientologists who are members of the church who might have a company. Some companies do very well, just like any other business. Some companies don't do as well. And when a company doesn't do well, suddenly the Church of Scientology. Well, that's not true, and it's not fair. And if you have a Catholic company a company that is owned by somebody who's Catholic that goes bankrupt, you say the church, you know, the Catholic Church did this? Absolutely not. No one would ever think of it. And that's an abuse that we're concerned about is this generalization.
These people were so-called wretched. This is a Scientology term. They were persuaded to give the money to the Church of Scientology by church staff. I can tell the name. The name is Achim Bendig, who was the IAS registrar. And I have published on the internet an internal knowledge report made by the owner where he describes the registration cycle, this is another Scientology term, which led to the funding of the Scientology organizations. And it was clearly that the Scientology organizations were set up on these persons to get a lot of money out of it. And these registrars, Achim Bendig, knew about the financial status and the financial situation of that company.
So you're saying that the church was set up deliberately as a way to, among other things, I mean the company was set up as a way to pass money to the church?
The Scientology officials, they viewed this organization and like other companies as a money pool. And this is not a single incident in Germany. There are others. For example,
this is what's happening in Germany, and this is why there are 4 years in a row the U.S. State Department has condemned what's going on in Germany. The United Nations has issued reports about what's going on in Germany because this is exactly the kind of thing that we're facing in Germany.
They didn't do it
where people, yes, they did, quite a page and a half full page and a half, the longest report on Scientology in the U.S. State Department reports in the last 4 years was this year. The reason that this is going on is because in Germany, because of the kinds of things that this man is saying, that just because a person is a member of the church, there are these wild accusations that, you've just heard the accusations, but there are these wild accusations just because they're a member of the church. Now, there are thousands and thousands of members of the church that are good, upstanding citizens, that pay a lot of taxes, that are very involved in the community, that do well in business. There are a lot of major corporations that I have family and friends that are involved in, that are high executives in, that are name brand corporations. Just because a person is a member of the Church of Scientology, or just because a person is a member of the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church, doesn't mean that their personal business and their personal tax returns is something that should even be the subject of a radio show.
All right. Well, let's talk some more about it, because I think obviously people in this community are very interested in the mm-hmm. subject of Scientology. There is going to be a demonstration this weekend, 9:30 on December 6th, and 9:30 a.m. December 6th, and 6:30 p.m. In Clearwater, opposite the headquarters of the Church of Scientology, to protest, among other things, what the critics say is the cruelty to its own members. And you folks are using the death of Lisa McPherson 2 years ago as a way to try to encourage people to protest the church. I wonder if one of you could take this question of Lisa McPherson's death 2 years ago and tell us what you think it shows to us about Scientology. Arnie?
I'm not completely familiar with the case, but I can point out what I've noticed. There were logs that were kept detailing Lisa's confinement in the Fort Harrison. The logs start before the incident where she was running down the street, where she was in that car accident, and then was going down the street taking off the clothes, which indicate to me that that was her first attempt to escape. Lisa McPherson worked for an outfit and was getting paid a large sum of money selling some kind of insurance forms or something like that. It was a WISE corporation where they pay 10% of their income or profit to Scientology.
What, when you say WISE, what does WISE stand for?
World Institute of Scientology International. So what is WISE?
World Institute of Scientology Enterprises.
Enterprises.
Which are corporations that use Mr. Hubbard's technologies and management technologies to help their businesses do better.
May I ask you one question while you're on a roll here?
I'm not on a roll, you are.
Can you tell me if this quote that I'm about to read is correct? All right?
If you'll let me then use a quote from you after that.
As being true. The court record is replete with evidence that Scientology is nothing in reality but a vast enterprise to extract the maximum amount of money from its adepts by pseudo-scientific theories and to exercise a kind of blackmail against persons that do not wish to continue with their sect. The organization clearly is schizophrenic and paranoid, and this bizarre combination seems to be a reflection of its founder, L. Ron Hubbard. Judge Breckenridge, Los Angeles Superior Court.
I don't know. I'm not familiar enough with the accusation.
Don't you work in the legal department?
No, I don't. But I'll tell you what I'm concerned about, and I think people don't know about somebody like Arnie Lerman. I think it's important people in this community do know where you're coming from. This picket was advertised in the Spotlight newspaper. The Spotlight newspaper, according to a new book out called In Hitler's Shadow, is one of the biggest neo-Nazi publications in the United States. Liberty Lobby, according to the Anti-Defamation League, mm-hmm. new book which is published, Hate on the Internet, is the number one anti-Semite group in the United States. Arnie Lerman is on the board of policy of Liberty Lobby.
And that's not true.
I've got your posting saying you are.
What's the date of it?
I don't have it with me,
yeah.
But it's a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so you resign now from the Liberty Lobby.
There's no resign. That's a ten. You pay $15 extra and they let you vote.
And you spoke at their national convention a year and a half
ago. You know what I spoke about?
Yes.
I spoke about the Liberty Tree and the fact that the Internet is the Liberty Tree of the 90s.
And it's a neo-Nazi publication. It's the number one anti-Semite hate publication in the United States, according to the ADL.
All right,
we don't need to argue
about this, but perhaps the most neo-Nazi anti-Semite part of it might be described as a part called Institute for Historical Review. Correct?
Yes.
In your opinion, good.
Absolutely.
IHR was taken over by Tom Marcellus, Scientologist.
No,
field staff member.
Not true.
Yes, it was.
Okay, let me just back up. And for the audience that doesn't know, the Institute for Historical Review denies that the Holocaust ever happened.
Yeah.
By some estimates, it is a neo-Nazi group. I think they would argue with me. Now you're saying...
Scientologists took it over.
All right.
They wanted to use the names against Germany in the fight against Germany.
All right, and Sylvia, of the Church of Scientology, you're saying it's not true that one of your top staff members has now taken over IHR?
Absolutely not.
Okay. Is Tom Marcellus
a Scientologist?
Tom Marcellus, at least several years ago, was a Scientologist.
He's not a staff member.
He's never been a staff member.
He's a staff member.
And the point with the IHR that is of interest is that there is a rift between Willis Carto that Arnie Lerma and Larry Wallersheim and quite a few other people who are involved in this picket are good friends with. He is the head. He is, according to this book, internationally known in neo-Nazi movements.
Hmm.
Now, that's what we're talking about.
I went to Willis Carto to find out about you folks, because when I found out about the takeover, that Scientologists have taken over IHR,
we compared notes about Scientology.
Scientology did not take over IHR and never has.
Book, sort of like the book I just gave you.
All right. Tom, let me get you in on that.
That raises up the question of what's happening with this pick and why the church is so concerned about it.
Okay, we're going to get to that in just a second. Martin Ottman.
I have some background information about Thomas Marcellus. He was the executive director of IHR from 1981 until 1995. In 1991, he attended a course in the Scientology headquarters, the Dynamic Sought-Out Assessment. In 1992, he became sponsor of the IAS. He paid $5,000.
IAS is the International
Association of Scientologists. It's the official membership of Scientologists. So while he was the executive director of the AIHR, he became a Scientologist per the documents. It's from the Impact magazine, from an official Scientology magazine. And later, Thomas Marcellus was kicked out of IHR because the other Nazis within this organization accused him of undermining the organization with Scientology.
All right.
And he became a patron of the IAS. He paid another $35,000
to the IAS. The president of IAS is Heber Jentz, and it's my understanding that he's out on $1 million bail on charges.
He's the president of IAS? That's news to me.
He used to be. Is he not? You've changed it now.
He's the president of the IAS?
Yes.
No.
He's never been.
No?
He's never been.
He's the president of IAS.
Senator McLaughlin.
All right. Guys, let me just slow this down a little bit here, because I hope the audience is keeping up with us. We're talking about the Church of Scientology today, and our guests are three critics, three former members of the church. They are Brigida Dagnell, Arnie Lerma, and Martin Ottman. Also here is one of the officials in the church, the external affairs director, Sylvia Stannard. Sylvia, did L. Ron Hubbard ever subscribe to conspiracy theories? Did he ever think that the big bankers were out to get him and to undermine the church?
I personally don't know exactly every theory he ever subscribed to. I have never read anything from Mr. Hubbard saying anything like that. I don't know.
It is a theory that neo-Nazis and conspiratorialists hold that the big bankers and all that are out to get them.
Right.
Did L. Ron Hubbard ever hold that for you?
I've never read anything.
Let me just play a tape of L. Ron Hubbard here for just a moment and get everybody to respond to it. Here is, in his own words, L. Ron Hubbard.
This on this planet are less than 12 men. They are members of the Bank of England and other higher financial circles. They own and control newspaper chains, and they are, oddly enough, directors in all the mental health groups in the world which have sprung up. Now, these chaps are very interesting fellows. They have fantastically corrupt backgrounds, illegitimate children, government graft, a very unsavory lot. And they apparently, sometime in the rather distant past, had determined upon a course of action. Being in control of most of the gold supplies of the planet, they entered upon a program of bringing every government to bankruptcy and under their thumb, so that no government would be able to act politically without their permission.
All right. Well, according to L. Ron, there's a conspiracy of international bankers. He goes on to say that this conspiracy is aimed towards the Church of Scientology. He was a believer in conspiracy theories, wasn't he?
I don't know. I've never personally met the man to know that. What I know is what I, as a Scientologist, have read and studied about the religious beliefs of Scientology. And that the issue here really is my First Amendment right to believe what I want to believe about my religion without my religion being attacked by people coming from out of state, out of the country, to come to protest here at the international headquarters of my church.
Do you believe that these protesters are violent?
Absolutely. I have postings saying, quote, blow up your local Church of Scientology today. So-called church ought to be destroyed. I have a whole raft of postings from many of the people who are supposed to be here tomorrow. The oncology bomb, detonated in Oklahoma was meant for Scientology. Oh, if only someone would bomb their new tourist trap.
Okay, let me get the critics to respond. Earlier this week, the Church of Scientology tried to prevent you folks from holding a protest, saying that you were going to be violent. Let's take that first, and then let me ask you about her religious freedom. Are you guys going to be violent at this protest?
Absolutely not. We're worried about them.
Yeah.
Why are you worried about them?
They were pushing us and shoving us around at the last picket.
You had a protest a year ago, and they were pushing you around?
Yeah.
How did
not
they push
true.
You?
I
okay,
was
wait
there.
A minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me just ask you. How did they push you around?
They would block your ability to walk. They would surround us with other pickets. They would place themselves in a position where you could not walk any further. It was sort of like what they did to Keith Henson in bringing some fellow that, you know, they deceived a judge the same way they deceived Judge Brinkema to get the writ of seizure on my home, which was later vacated. All of your raids have been vacated after they get all the details. But they're adept at deceiving judges and baffling them.
All right. So let me turn it back to Sylvia. Sylvia, your people pushed this group of anti-Scientology protesters around last year at the protest.
No, we didn't, and he didn't say we did. He said that they were blocked from walking further. That's not the same as pushing. I didn't see that personally.
Well, what do we need
we
to bump
tried
and jostle
to talk,
below camera
we
level?
Tried to talk with them. There are quite a few people, including myself, who was out there with Arnie saying, come on, Arnie, let's talk. That's been our position all along. Let's talk about the Church of Scientology. Let's talk about your complaints. Let's negotiate. Let's see what your real upsets are. But it comes down again and again and again to being a financial issue where they are vested interest in trying to make millions of dollars from the church.
And that is
the Lisa McPherson story that you're talking about. It isn't a story. It happened 2 years ago.
You are the one.
Suddenly, when the aunt tries to sue, hold on a minute, for $80 million, now it's suddenly a story. Now, that's what's happened time and again. Larry Wallersheim is getting paid. Arnie Lerma is getting paid.
What are you talking about getting paid?
You're getting money under the counter. It's been on the Internet. You've been financed. Larry Wallersheim, you've been handing out flyers saying donations willingly received
absolutely.
Constantly. Absolutely. You're getting financed.
Well, who do you think is
Larry
financing them? Sylvia, who do you think is financing them?
Well, a guy named Bob Minton, it has been admitted in court cases, has, for instance, been involved in giving money to
okay, Bob Minton, let me toss it back to Arnie Lerma and the critics. Are you guys being financed? And what do you think of this accusation?
At one point during my litigation, after 2 years of the most intense litigation that the attorneys that were representing me had ever experienced. I offered to sell my computer to Bob Minton, the one that I used to log on to the internet with, because I was out of money.
The insurance company paid for all your legal fees, and you know it.
Yes, but who was feeding me while I was doing all of that?
You were. You were out busy. You were telling me that you work only 1 or 2 days a week because you like to lay around the house.
This was all the time that you were keeping us tied up with litigation and the litigation stress.
But you just gave the false impression.
You
just gave the false impression that
they don't remember what happened to them while they're in.
The point is, you just gave the false impression that you paid for this litigation.
Okay.
The insurance company
This is all kind of inside baseball to see everybody. let me get to some of the larger issues.
You're right.
The last time I talked
to
Bonnie, she filed a false
anyone.
Affidavit in my case, okay. So I don't want to talk to her.
I've never filed an affidavit in your
case. Why are you saying that I am paid?
All right.
I didn't say you were.
Yes, you said the critics.
I said he is.
All right. I don't think.
And I don't believe you probably went to Germany on your own.
Yes, I did.
Okay, I'd like to see evidence of that.
All right,
well,
I'll kick you all out of this room if you don't listen to me. Seriously, you critics say that the Church of Scientology ultimately aims to take over the world, and that it is a fascist organization, secret at the top, with the membership of Scientology not completely aware what the aims and the goals of the people at the top are. Explain that to me.
Hubbard had a plan once to take over South Africa many years ago. I don't know all the details of it, but I remember reading it in various policy letters. They've wanted a safe harbor for many years. They wanted a place where they would be the ones making the law.
What's the proof of that?
That's written in policy letters. I mean, that's written.
Yeah, did L. Ron Hubbard want to take over the nation of South Africa?
I've never seen that. I've been in the church 22 years, and it's amazing the things that pops out of people like Arnie Lerman's mouth. Like, L. Ron Hubbard says this, L. Ron Hubbard says that. I've never seen the large majority of these quotes, I've never seen or heard.
To substantiate these, we get sued under copyright trying to substantiate your denials.
When you posted 136 full pages.
61 pages.
That was as the court found a violation of copyright.
Well, what
and in fact, your fine was $2,500. We won the case.
To get that $2,500
that's
fine.
Irrelevant.
$1.7
million. That's irrelevant.
All right. Martin, do you have anything to add to this discussion about the ultimate aims of the church?
Well, there exists an audio tape called Rhodesia, in which Aaron Hubbard describes his attempts to take over the country Rhodesia. Then there exists RJ67, which was played during my 2 year stay at the headquarters for several times to the whole staff. And I also have a letter from a founding Sea Org member, Frank McCall, in which he states that Scientology wants to take over the world by the year 2000, and this and I have also a letter written by the executive director international Guillaume Lefebvre, in which he states that he wants to clear the world by the year 2000. The term clearing the world means the takeover of the world affairs by Scientology.
You have a crashing misunderstood word there. Clearing Scientology merely means that a person is free of their own upsets and troubles and that they're able to think on their own and they're not controlled by bad incidents that happened to them in the past.
And
it has nothing to do with political.
Well,
nothing. You can look in, there are several Scientology dictionaries which have a definition for the word clear, and it has nothing anywhere about any kind of political taking over the world. It has nothing
Can I say something?
I mean, if you could just say, all these things say it, bring a copy of it. Where does it say it? I didn't bring it with you, me, because I didn't know you were going to bring this up. The definition is clear. It's very obvious. Anyone can buy Dianetics, the Modern Science of Mental Health, in their local bookstore, and it talks about the state of clear. It's in B. Dalton's. It's in all these bookstores.
They have, you know, for public affairs, they have one definition, and for internal affairs, they have another definition.
Well, I've never in 21 years seen that other definition.
Yeah, well, obviously,
and I've been in the church for a long time.
Obviously, you haven't studied a lot. You haven't studied enough books to keep up with this discussion, because you even didn't know Archie 67.
All right, hold on, Sylvia, let him.
For the infiltration during the 1980s, to give a little ground for this word clearing, during the 1980s. Two agents of the German intelligence service for external affairs were run by a Scientologist who was before in the Guardian's office, and he was their case officer. So they infiltrated the German intelligence service for external affairs called BND during the 1980s. This is what I understand about clearing. This is what they understand in clearing. This is how clearing gets in action by the Scientologists. This is clearing the planet.
That isn't clearing the planet. I don't know anything about
then,
that.
Then
case.
You have probably.
And I've been in Germany, and I've been working with the State Department and the United Nations about what's happening in Germany for a number of years, and I've never even seen that allegation before. And believe me, I've seen just about every allegation you can make up under the sun, moon, and stars.
So the guy who runs this agent is called Alf. His name is Alfred Kohl.
How about bringing documents?
But let me ask Sylvia Stannard, the External Affairs Director of the Church of Scientology, what does the Church, in its religion, what do you worship?
We believe that man is a spiritual being, and that is the crux of our religious belief. That man, that you yourself are not your body, that you are a spiritual being, that you have immortal life, that you can get better, that there can be ultimate freedom for people. There, you can be free. You can have total freedom. And that's what Scientology is about.
Do you worship a God?
Well, I can't tell you in 2 minutes what Scientology is when it's 25 million words, but anyone can pick up a book at a local bookstore and read about it.
If I were to join the church today, how much would it cost me to reach the top stage of the church?
It totally depends on you.
What would be the minimum? What would be the minimum cost for me reaching clear?
Free.
What would be the minimum cost for me to be an operating Satan?
Free.
I could reach that position.
Absolutely.
For free?
Absolutely.
Okay, let me hear from, because you guys were making the charge earlier that it is a money-making, among its reasons for being are money-making. Can I reach that position for free?
I worked for 2 years in the sales department, and I never saw any person who reached the state of clear for free. The average money they have to put into the church accounts was at least $40,000, but some people paid $100,000 or $150,000 just to attain the state of clear. The average money they have to put to the church for attaining the highest level, OT8, is $270,000 or $300,000. But when she's also disguising that when you want to attain the state of clear for free, you have to be a staff member.
Okay.
And people can also pick up the book Dianetics and co-audit it themselves for free and breach the state of clear. It's in the book Dianetics.
Dianetics clear is a sub-level even beyond the lowest course on the so-called Gradeshard. The state of clear, what we are talking about, is something different. It's in the middle of the Gradeshard. You have a really misunderstood world.
You do too.
Now you know how she's disguising. The Dianetics clear is a state which Hubbard described in 1950, but this is not longer the official term clear. It represents something different. There exist various courses and auditing steps which you have to attain before you even get to the clear certainty rundown. And I have never seen a public Scientologist who hasn't at least paid $40,000 or $50,000 to attain that state.
Then I had to pay a lot, even but I was on staff.
You had to pay a lot?
Yes, to become clear and to become OT3.
Mm-hmm.
And I met a Swedish OSA man 3 years ago. He has been on staff since 1976, and he has not been clear yet.
Sylvie, could you be mistaken, or could you be dissembling here in that the vast majority of people who get to clear or operating Satan have to pay money? Or
that
you,
wasn't
you,
the question you asked.
Well, let me ask you this. What percentage, what acceptable truth, no doubt?
No,
what percentage,
question, not okay, another question.
What percentage of the members of the Church of Scientology pay nothing to become clear or to become an operating Satan?
Well, we've actually done studies on this, and it was for a comparative that was in the tax case. And 32% of the people in Scientology get their services for free.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that necessarily they went clear. Some people might go clear. Some people might be operating Satan. But quite a lot of people do receive services for free, just like any other church. Yes, people do donate and contribute towards the church. They have to, otherwise we wouldn't have
buildings. Are these voluntary donations, or are these required to reach certain stages?
Well, they're voluntary donations. A person doesn't need to donate. But in order to do certain courses, there are set donation schedules for certain courses.
If I choose not to donate the set schedule, can I still get the course?
Depends. There are many other ways. There are always other ways that people can do it.
Name
so,
on.
Yes, you can be on staff. You can contribute as a staff member. You can be a field staff member and work in selling books or disseminating information about the church, and you can get awarded. You can get awarded courses for that. So there's quite a lot of different ways that people can do things in Scientology. Mm-hmm. What they're talking about is somebody who's a professional, full-time type person who might come over from another country, for instance, who might have a lot of money. And they're including things like staying at the Fort Harrison for a year. Yes, you stay at a hotel for a year, you're going to spend some money. You stay at the Hilton for a year, you're going to spend some money. I mean, yes, it does happen, but that's what we're talking about. But the real issue that we need to talk about, I think, is the First Amendment rights here, where our freedom of religion and our freedom to believe what we want to believe and to practice our religion is being threatened by people on the Internet like Arne Lerma, like Keith Henson, for sure, who talked about shooting.
Keith Henson isn't here, so he's not here to defend himself. But are you guys trying to threaten their First Amendment rights? Do you want them, you want their ability to believe what they want to believe limited?
I have no problem with you believing that the moon is made of green cheese. But at the point that you start lying to the public about your true nature, then I think the public should be very interested in what you believe.
Do you think that it's okay for people to say, if only someone should bomb their new tourist trap or museum? Yeah, that would make me laugh. Do you think that that's okay? Do you think that people writing to our attorney saying that I can't even read some of this stuff on the air is vulgar, but saying I'm going to kill you tonight?
Yes, well,
I'll stick a knife into. I'll leave it blank.
Lord, we can.
Sylvia, what is this? Who has made those statements? Any of our guests, have they made these statements?
Keith Henson, who is here in Clearwater,
right,
from this standpoint.
Keith is not here.
They like ex parte.
Right.
I have the copies of
all right,
the email.
But I think we should stick it to Arnie or Martin or Brigida. Have they made any of those statements?
None that I have read.
All right, okay. Martin, did you want to say something before we go on to another subject?
Well, I would like to return to the cost of the services. There exists just one course, which is for free, and this is the field staff member head, where you learn to recruit other Scientologists. All other services cost something. I was in an organization who made $1.5 million a week, and I was sitting in this executive meetings where we were screamed at by the commanding officer of the Flex Service Organization in Clearwater. Why? Because we just made $1.2 million a week. All it counted was money making, money making, money making.
He wanted to bring your totals up, is what you're saying.
Yeah, we were urged to go down and urge the public to spend as much money as possible. And this is what it's all about in the flag service organization. It's a money machine. We had to make our quota was $3 million a week.
Just from the Clearwater area?
Just from the Clearwater area.
Not true, and you know it.
No,
well, Sylvia, if making $3 million wasn't the quota for Clearwater, what is the quota, if any?
I don't know what the quota is, but he knows that Clearwater is, he's not talking about from Clearwater. He's talking about internationally from all over the world.
No, that's
not true. To come to the Fort Harrison. And you're from what country? Are you from Clearwater?
What are you talking about now? I'm from Germany, you know.
Exactly. That. And where do you think people who are coming to Clearwater are coming from? They're coming from all over the world. They're not
what has
coming
to
from
do
Clearwater.
With a figure
because
of $1.5 million a week.
But well, you changed the figure now, but
right.
I'll
tell you what, let's go to the phones. Our phone number is 239-9663. The way we let the people on the air are we just have them call in with their questions or comments. You get through as you call in. The number to call, 239-9663. Let's see what some listeners have to say. Hi, welcome to WMNF. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Rob. Just one question, I guess, for our Scientologist representative. Is it always your religion's way to be confrontational and incite negativism as opposed to promoting the positives of your beliefs to everybody?
Absolutely not, but realize I'm sitting here with three against one and a little bit of a setup here, so I'm a little irritated when they're about to pick it in front of my church. Now, if I was here, what I would like to talk about is what's been done in Clearwater to improve the city of Clearwater, the lighting that have been done for Christmas, the winter wonderland that's being set up. Those are the things that I would like to be here talking about, and that's the things that I would like to see the St. Petersburg Times and the local papers talking about, but they don't talk about that. So, you know, give me a little credit that I'm a little bit three against one is.
All right. Well,
I
should say too that what we offered and the church turned it down. We offered the church a whole off hour by itself, and the church decided. Right. The church decided that next Tuesday an hour would not be acceptable, and so that's why we've got the show today with everybody here. Caller, thanks a lot for your call. Did you have another question?
Just a statement more than anything else. Is that it was a point was brought up that when impeding the process of a organized and allowable ticket, that you know, an opportunity was there to negotiate and to express opposing views. Well, shoot, do that on your own time, not somebody else's organized time. I mean, if it's that important to negotiate, you set up the negotiating time. But don't go over when somebody else has already made arrangements for something else.
All right.
That's just going to be confrontational again.
Okay. Thanks a lot for your call.
Okay.
239-9663. Go ahead, Sylvia.
Well, I just would like to respond to that
in
terms of, yes, it's confrontational. When they come to our church and pick it in front of our church, it is confrontational. That's what they're the ones coming to us. I'm not going to Arnie's house and picketing in front of that. Now, if I start doing that, he'd probably be really upset.
In front of his home, haven't you?
And how many...
Who is Vaughn Young?
Vaughn Young is an expert witness. I think he was the ex OSA PR, and his wife used to be the editor of Freedom Magazine.
So two former church officials, and they picketed right at their house.
Isn't that true?
I don't know. I've never heard of that.
Sylvia, is that true?
I've never heard of it.
Jeff Jackson was also picketed by OSA officials and by Scientologists in front of his house and in front
at his workplace.
Absolutely,
of course. And you think it's okay to come picket in our church?
Wait a minute, Sylvia. I don't understand why would it be not okay to picket in front of a church, but it is okay to picket in front of somebody's workplace? Why would that be okay?
I didn't say it wasn't okay to picket in front of a church. It was in front of my church.
You just objected to them picketing in front of your church.
I said it's confrontational.
Right.
It is confrontational.
And so would it be confrontational to picket at another critic's place of work?
Absolutely.
So you're a confrontational group?
No, it's a controversy here in that people who are not involved in Scientology, like Jeff Jacobs, comes to our church, flies all the way to Clearwater to picket against us, and then is involved in litigation and try to make money from the church. That's the controversy.
Jeff isn't involved in litigation with you. That's a lie.
Okay, let's take another phone call. Our phone number is 239-9663. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, two observations and then a brief observation and a question. First of all, I think the Scientologists are obviously a church, a mainstream international church, and that they're rich. They got all the money, and that I think that the mainstream, the Catholic Church, and the all the mainstream churches are corrupt to a degree, and Scientology I think is corrupt to a degree as well. And I think that all churches should be taxed after they have like $1 billion in assets. They should all be taxed all over the world. Secondly, I think that someone who has been cleared of the reactive mind is obviously able to pass a lie detector test, and that they don't react to the questions in the normal fashion. And it's impossible to tell if the clear is lying or not. And thirdly, a question for Sylvia, who obviously is, I believe, intentionally uninformed, being their external affairs communicator. I don't think that she has the knowledge of all the internal goings on there. It's obvious she doesn't even know what the quotas are or how much money is made there. But a question for you, Sylvia: what is the ethical dogma of the church for good and evil, aside from clearing the planet of the reactive mind, which I think is debatable? What is the dogma of the church for distinguishing between good and evil and right and wrong? What, in essence, briefly, can you tell me how do you all preach that people should be good and not be evil?
All right, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
That's a good question. There's a whole booklet called The Way to Happiness, which delineates moral precepts that we believe that people should follow. That includes things like don't cheat, don't steal, don't murder, the usual Ten Commandments type of ideas, as well as other
things. Is lying one of your commandments? Do you believe that lying is wrong?
Absolutely.
And would there be any occasion that your church would allow lying?
No. Now, that doesn't mean that no Scientologist ever lied.
Right.
Like no Christian.
Right, but official.
But
I'm talking about official.
Dogma.
I'm talking about official church dogma. Let me pass it on to the critics. Is there an occasion that you have heard, as ex-members of the Church of Scientology, that they would allow lying?
Well, there was the lying tears.
The lying what?
Lying tears. We had to learn to lie to reporters. It was among the reporter tears.
This is one of the skills that you were supposed to have as a member of the church?
Yes.
Well, what
do you
what
have
is
a
it?
Copy of it?
I had not a copy of it.
So what do you have in 31 pages that I posted to the net that you're supposed to
have? And then we have the fact that L. Ron Hubbard himself lied about all his life.
What do you mean he lied?
He lied about being an atomic physician and all that things, and what he was doing during the war.
He lied about his
yes.
military background.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
what are you saying?
Let me just be Sylvie, before we go back to you, let me go back to Arnie. Arnie, are you saying that at one time documents proving that the church sanctioned lying were available on the internet?
In this Fishman document that I was sued about, I got sued for 61 copyright pages that were the super duper secret levels, the carrot on the end of the stick that they tease the members with. But in that was a section of the levels called our Level Zero Tabs, and another section about TRL lying. And that training routine was in that section posted, I believe.
So part of the same way
that you've never heard
I've
Ron's
never
Journal 67.
I've heard Ron's Journal 67.
That's what this excerpt is from.
All right. So you're saying, Arnie, that these documents do exist, but you're prevented from putting them out on the internet because of a lawsuit by the church.
Well, only these copyrighted OT sections I'm prevented from making copies.
All right. Let me turn back to Sylvia. Sylvia, do you use your lawsuits as a way to hide the actual beliefs of the church and hide your teachings on lying and other things?
You're saying our teachings on lying. That is not true.
We don't have a document.
They don't have a document, so
that
let's
document.
Not say that.
Oh,
but let me answer your question, which is the litigation. Arnie Lerma posted over 1,000 negative comments against the church. It wasn't until he posted 136 pages of copyrighted materials, word for word, verbatim, which the court upheld and said, yes, he violated copyrights, that we sued him. So it's not a question of using litigation, not using litigation to be involved in attacking critics or anything of that nature, but involved in if there is a gross copyright violation, and it's an increasing problem on the Internet. Microsoft has had many copyright suits. There's new legislation going through Congress right now about copyright on the Internet because it is such a problem.
Okay, let me ask you this. I want to stick with you for a second then. If then your church is not concerned about money making, why are you so concerned about protecting the teachings of the church? Why do you copyright the teachings of the church? For instance, the Christian church has a Bible. It's available in any hotel room. If you guys aren't so concerned about money, then why not let everybody have access to all the documents?
Because it's one of the very basic traditions or beliefs of the church. Is one of the first policy letters that's called Keeping Scientology Working. Our concern is with people who then take copyrighted materials, alter them, use them differently, and say that it's Scientology.
So why not flood the world with all the documents? Why not print all the documents and flood the world with them so that nobody can alter them?
They absolutely are. They're in almost every bookstore.
Right, but I mean...
But what we're talking about...
Okay, so, Arnie, are these documents that you were sued for, are they in every bookstore, the 61 pages that you were sued for? Can you go down to the bookstore and find these?
No.
Well, then, there's a conflict here. Okay, Sylvie, why don't you put these 61 pages in the bookstore?
These are our spiritual belief, is that people are not ready for this until they've finished lower levels.
Well, does that mean that you want people to pay in order to find out what these spiritual beliefs are?
As I went over...
If I said I was interested in Scientology and I came over there and wanted to pick up these 61 documents, could I do that? Could
no.
I come over to, why not?
Because it is our sincerely held religious belief that you're not ready for it yet. You can get Dianetics, you can do co-auditing, you can become clear and free of your reactive mind, which is our word for the negative things that have happened to you in the past that still influence you. And by promoting total spiritual freedom, once you're spiritually free of those negative things that have happened, then you're ready for what's called the operating Satan or OT material.
Well, Arnie,
and then you can come into the church and do this.
Okay, Arnie, what's wrong with that? That in order to learn the stages of Scientology, you got to be taken through by them. They've got to show you the way.
Well, throughout Scientology, you know that there are these secret levels. Before a person knows the information that's on them, what any normal person does is they figure that, well, it's going to be something that explains everything that I've experienced so far, which doesn't make sense. All right? And they will stay in longer and spend more money. It's just part of the trap. And when they do find out, the people that are allowed to find out are only those people who have had extensive security checking and have had eligibility rundowns, so that they know that they have every detail about that person's life copiously detailed in case they were to read it and think, wait a minute, this is not right.
Wait a minute, you're saying that if I were to enter the Church of Scientology, I would confess all my past indiscretions, everything that would possibly embarrass me.
Eventually, they'd get it all.
And they would have a record of everything that would ever embarrass me. So if I,
they're protected by priest penitent, and which is part of the auditor's code, which is the basic tenet of an auditor, you will not
use
the secrets divulged by a pre-clearance session. Outside of session, you're not allowed to even talk about something. That if you're counseling someone and they tell you something, you're not allowed to tell your husband or anybody. So and so today.
I think you have forget about that. The auditor should write a report to the ethics file if the PC has revealed some crimes in session.
Have you read the auditor's code?
Yes, I was an auditor.
It says what it says.
Yes, but still, there is a policy also. Saying that you should report to the ethics file.
Okay, let me get this straight. Sylvia says that what you confess, and you confess everything along the way, I take it, what you confess is never revealed because there is a clergy-like relationship between the person auditing and the person being audited.
We had two men in Sweden, actually, who left the church. They had revealed in auditing about I don't know how you say it in English, dirty money, black money, is that the word you use? When you get money aside and
bribe money, I think.
Bribes?
No, not bribes.
Under the table money?
Under the table money, yes. They had revealed about that in session, and when they left the church, the USA get them imprisoned. It was okay, as long as they were members in the church.
So the church revealed this to a government agency, and then...
Yes,
and
not as long as they were members in the church.
Could that be a rare example where the information got out in the public?
Yes.
Martin?
I was talking in a court litigation when part of the auditor's file, so-called auditor's file, were revealed in the court by the auditor who was acting as a field auditor for the Church of Scientology, and it was revealed that some content of it, of this so-called pre-clear file.
What case was that? See, this is the problem. You know, she can say something.
It was the case of Dietmar Kecht. Dietmar Kecht was the field auditor. He's new OC7, and he's flag public, a so-called public of the flag service organization, and he's a field auditor in Stuttgart. And this happened in 1996.
Okay.
I'll look into that, and I'll be glad to get it to you in a week or so to find out what the case is. I'm sure when the court records are checked, it probably won't be exactly that.
You can check with Jürgen Schwarz. He's the DSA of Stuttgart.
Okay, thank you. I will do that.
All right. Arnie, go ahead, your turn.
I'd just like to interject another quote here from a court record, seeing as how you brought it up.
Okay, then I can interject another quote from you.
Scientology is evil. Its techniques are evil. Its practice is a serious threat to the community, medically, morally, and socially. And its adherents are sadly deluded and often mentally ill. Scientology is the world's largest organization of unqualified persons engaged in the practice of dangerous techniques which masquerade as mental therapy. Justice Anderson, Supreme Court of Victoria, Australia.
All right. And Sylvia,
that was in the 60s, which was overturned by a high court decision in Australia.
Is this a judge's
opinion?
In a high
court decision in Australia. Yes, and there are bigots. I mean, I assume it is.
Justice Anderson's a bigot.
All right, Sylvia, did you want to...
Absolutely. If he makes a comment like that, he is a bigot.
Sylvia, did you want to read a portion of a court record?
No, I was going to read a posting, because this is what we're really talking about. Here you have Lawrence Wallersheim, another guy who's down here with these people.
Is he?
Is he?
Saying...
Where is he?
He planned ops against the Church of Scientology of a military nature. He told me all about his contacts in the intelligence community. If I didn't know better, I would have thought he was an agent. This is the kind of things many talked about. Don't know whether the bomb threat is genuine. You know, this is the kind
You're
of
just
things
we're talking about.
It's a posting.
Pull the wool over another judge's eyes.
It's a posting, which you can read, and there are plenty of judges.
Is it a posting that I made?
And there are, no, I told you.
But you're trying to infer it during this, wasn't she?
No, right. I told you Larry Wallersheim made this posting. He's a co-founder of FactNet, which you're also on the board of directors with him.
All right, we're way over time. Let me see if we can squeeze in one or two more phone calls. Hi, you're on the air. Thanks for holding on for so long. You're on the air.
Hi. I was thinking of that quote, you know, Ross Perot, I think it was, who said, you know, follow the money. And since, you know, Arnie and all these guys over there have so much attention on money, I was wondering, Sylvia, if we follow the money, what will we find on these guys? Who's behind them? What's their motivation? What's their personal motivation for it?
That's what I've been talking about. I think that's the most interesting thing that the media tends to ignore, is where is the money? Why does this guy Mitten give a whole house to this guy Von Jung for $200,000+, Von Jung testified recently in a deposition. There is a lot of money being flowed to people like Larry Wallersheim, Von Jung, Arnie Werma, from this one person. We don't know why. It's a very interesting question, and in fact has been a concern. Suddenly in Germany, we have a protest in Berlin with 10,000 people who show up in Berlin.
Can I finish?
And this woman shows up at an event the night before, Now she shows up in Clearwater. I'm sorry, but where's the money?
I have them myself. I pay for myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're very rare then.
No,
because
I said
Arnie Lerman tells me he's broke. He's got no money.
Yes,
but
I am not.
But he can fly to Florida.
Well, I am not broke.
Sylvie,
I do this because I think.
What do you think the motive? I'm sorry, Sylvie. What do you think the motive is? Who is supplying the money? Do you think?
Well, I know one person is this guy Bob Minton.
And what's his motive?
I have no idea.
All right.
But I know.
And how much money do you think is being supplied to these folks?
I don't know exactly, except for this.
Are we talking hundreds of thousands,
yes,
millions?
Hundreds of thousands.
Right.
$200,000 house.
Do these guys have any court cases or something that they would stand to, you know, earn lots of
absolutely
money if something would happen to the church?
Arnie Lerma doesn't right now. He's not suing us for anything at the moment, but he's still trying to get money from the church.
All right,
Larry Wallerstein has a multi-million dollar I'll tell you in a minute. Larry Wallerstein has a multi-million dollar suit. Lisa McPherson's aunt now suing for $80 million. Yes, there's definitely an interest in money, and people have been.
Martin, are you getting paid?
The voyage, the travel was financed through a friend. Right now, I have 200 Deutschmarks on my bank account, and that's it.
What friend? Bob Mitten?
No, Peter Reiches. He will come on Friday.
All right. And Brigitte, you paid for it by yourself.
Yes.
As long as we're asking you guys about the money, let me ask Sylvie about the money. Sylvie, how much money does the Church of Scientology take in every year?
Quite a lot, because there are a lot of people, several million dollars.
2 million?
I don't know the exact figure. Several million, a lot more than two million. But I will tell you, because people are interested in the church and want to donate to the church, and they're getting something out of it. People don't give money to the church if they're not getting a benefit, if they're not feeling better, if the Scientology counseling and the courses and the training that they're doing is not helping them.
And if they
don't feel better, if they're not more happy, if they're not spiritually more aware,
but you're not,
they
wouldn't prepared, be doing it. Okay, but you're not prepared to say how much money the church takes in. You don't want to tell us that.
I don't know exactly.
No, you're the external affairs director, so if anybody knows, it's going to be you.
No, I'm the external affairs for the Founding Church of Scientology in Washington, D.C.
But you don't know, but you're a top official.
I know how much the Founding Church of Washington, D.C. makes.
Well, but I'm talking about the church worldwide. You don't know, yet you're a top official of the church.
I'm the top official, but the Founding Church
in Washington.
All right,
let me turn it over to a guest. How much money? Sylvia doesn't know. Let's see if the outsiders know.
Yeah. First of all, she is prohibited to tell anything about money. Money figures aren't allowed to go outside of the church.
Why is it?
I said we made several million.
Sylvia, you never answered the question. Sylvia, you never answered the question.
Let me turn off their
microphones. I'm going to let everybody listen. How much money does the Church of Scientology worldwide take in per year?
Several million.
2 million?
More than that.
Three.
I don't know the
Four,
exact figure.
Five, six,
several,
seven.
Several million.
Okay, now I'm going to turn off your microphone. Martin and guys, how much money does the church take in every year?
The biggest money organization of Scientology is the Flag Service Organization. Last year she made approximately $1.4 million a week. A third of it goes to the international management in Los Angeles, so this is $1.4 million in 50 weeks, so this is about 60 million.
What does the church do with its money?
They put it in so-called Sea Org reserve accounts. Some of them are in Luxembourg. And they using it in stock trades per ex-Scientologist. I don't know for sure. And
does anybody get rich from Scientology?
Well, David Miscavige is paid $65,000 a year, and he has no costs for an apartment, for no food. He has the working slaves working for him.
Working what?
slaves working, the RPFers in
Hammond, California. What does RPF stand for?
Rehabilitation Project Force. It's the slaver camp of Scientology.
Okay, let's ask Sylvia. The RPF is a slave organization.
It's absolutely not. But I do want to tell you what the money goes for, because that is the key question. And the money goes to disseminate Scientology. I'm sure you've seen TV ads, advertising books, advertising what's going on in the church. It goes for community projects. It goes for the Drug Free Marshals program. It goes for Winter Wonderland. It goes to pay for the buildings. It goes to pay the staff, to pay the heat, pay the just like any other church. Just like any other church, you've got to pay the heat, the gas, the electric, the water, the food. Of course that's where the money goes. And that's what, but the key thing is that why do people donate money to the church? Because they're getting benefits.
All right, and the RPF is not a slave organization.
Absolutely
people aren't made to work for free at long hours.
No, absolutely not. They're paid, but they also, it is a project that helps people to rehabilitate themselves if they've done poorly. And many people have written wonderful things about how it's really helped them. It gave them an opportunity.
Yes.
It's given them an opportunity to do a lot better. They feel much better having done this program.
And many people have written very critical reports.
No, a few.
Oh.
A very few.
I can. From my archive, I can give you 100 reports.
Okay, we're going to give out some phone numbers and some internet addresses in just a moment. We're way over time, but let me ask one more question. Let's take one more phone call. Sylvia Stannard of the Church of Scientology, how did Lisa McPherson die? What was the cause of death?
A blood clot in the lungs.
Was she suffering from dehydration?
Absolutely not. There's two new slides which have just been released, which were not released before, which prove conclusively she was not dehydrated.
The
interesting thing, we didn't have them. We sued for them, and they were suppressed by the medical examiner, and they were just recently released when we went to get the original slides, and that is what we've been talking about very recently.
Was Lisa McPherson held against her will?
No.
You guys want to say anything?
Well, I know of one incident in 1991 when my roommate, whose name is Len Thomas, told me that he has to baby watch a person in the San Pietro who was held there behind closed doors because she was crazy, nuts, in his own words.
And where's the sandcastle? Is that
Sandcastle Hotel? It's one building of the flag land base where all different Scientologists organizations are located.
If people are having trouble, psychotic episodes, are they held against their will?
No, but obviously, if somebody is completely psychotic, then you're helping them, or you take them to a doctor. My mother-in-law has had frequent psychotic type episodes, and she's not a Scientologist. But yes, when we were taking her to the hospital, if she tries to open the door, yeah, you grab her arm and make sure she doesn't open the door. That happens all the time.
Is part of the treatment for psychotic episodes depriving people of water and food?
Absolutely not.
Right.
And that didn't happen to Lisa McPherson.
All right, let's take one more phone call. And hi, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, hi, Rob. It's an interesting session you have here today. Particularly interesting to hear how the woman from Scientology answers her critics. She uses the ad hominem argument. She attacks them personally, or even attacks other people personally whom she says they're associated with, and will not reveal one penny about Scientology. My only advice is, if you're going to buy something and they won't tell you how much it costs and are particularly evasive about it, you tuck your tail and run. Scientology is a money machine. That's what it's all about.
All right. Thanks a lot. Sylvie, thanks for your call. Sylvie, do you want to respond to that?
Yes. If somebody wants to find out about Scientology, go to a bookstore, read a book. That's the truth. That's what Scientology is all about. It's in writing. It's not verbal. It's not me telling you something. It's not Arnie Lerma telling you something. It's not somebody from Germany telling you something. It's what Mr. Hubbard said. Read it for yourself. Make your own decisions. Come for a tour of the church. It's an open house all the time. Come in and look.
All right. On that note, I'm going to end this, and I want to thank all of you for coming here today. Sylvia Stannard of the Church of Scientology, how can folks get in touch with you or find out more about the position that you represent?
Well, I'm actually here just for a couple of days. I'm usually in Washington, D.C., but anybody can check our website at www.scientology.org or .dianetics.org or .lronhubbard.org. So they can look on the internet and look at our website. They can call the church. They can come into the Fort Harrison and have a tour anytime they'd like.
All right. Well, Sylvia, thanks a lot. And let me ask Arnie Lerma. Arnie, if folks want to get in touch with you, how can they do it?
My address is on my website at www.lermanet.com, LERMANET.com, Or they could go to www.zenu.com.
Okay. And Birgitta, if folks want to get in touch with you, is there a way that we can do it? I know you're from Sweden, so you're not here. This is the one time you'll be here.
Well, I don't really know how people from the States could contact me. I mean, I have a private phone number.
Okay. Well, and let me just leave it at that.
Yeah.
And Martin?
I have an email address.
Uh-huh.
It's a little bit complicated. Rashid Ahmed, RASHID AHMED @hotmail.com. I'm especially interested in people who were in Scientology and their experiences, so I'm open for their experiences.
Okay.
Yes, I have an email address.
Oh, you do? Go ahead and you can get that.
Did, and that, how do you call it?
At.
Okay, D-I-D?
D-I-D.
D-I-D.
Yes.
At.
Cheerful.
How do you spell it?
Cheerful.
A cheerful?
Yes.
Okay.
Dot. Home.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a happy one. Well, thanks a lot for coming in. I enjoyed it. Thanks for coming in. And again, if folks want to find out more about anything that went on here today to talk to our guests, you can call us at 238-8001, and some of them may hang around for a few minutes after the show. And if you have comments about today's show, you can call us at 238-8001 and leave a message on extension 18. I'm Rob Lori. This has been Radioactivity. Stay tuned for the Afternoon Blues Cruise.